the actual needs of a church plant. We need some songbooks. We need some chairs. We need a storefront location or some other facility. But the other needs, we need a mother church. Can you kind of give us a bullet list of what some of those things are? If a person is thinking about starting a church, they can't say, well, I'm upset with my pastor. I think I'll just go start a church. That's not technically a church plan. What are the non-concrete items there that have to start a church?
So I would believe that the model in Scripture is churches start churches. Now, we could debate over the difference between the word model and mandate. But if you have a model, why not follow it? So churches start churches. That's very necessary. The other thing that is needed in a church plant, and we don't really think about this as much as we should, is the location is important. We need a location. We need a place to meet. And so we just got back from Miami 2 days ago. We're going to be starting a church in Miami with a man from our church. And we just spent 2 days looking for a location, praying over a location, because that's vitally important that you consider and pray about a location. And instead of, and that prayerful seeing God move in a location is also a good indicator that God is moving in this area, instead of I'm angry at the preacher, let's meet at my house type thing. That's not a good way. In fact, I was talking to some preacher in the town next to me, adjacent to me. I said, how come we don't fellowship as preachers in this town? He says, because we're all pastoring splits off of each other. It's like, what a poor testimony, you know, that is. So having a sending church, but here's a question that you can think about for a minute. That sending church, what does that mean? What do you mean by sending church? What do you mean by mother church? When does that church stop being the mother, and when does the church plant become an actual church plant?
Right.
Because one of the problems we've also seen is church plants so dependent upon their mother that they don't act upon their own. Where a church planter will say, well, I would do that, but my pastor won't let me. Okay, I'm confused now, because when does this church plant become a church? And if it's a church, who's the pastor? And if you're the pastor, who's going to give an account?
Right.
Those are important questions to consider. Because even the people in that church, when you look at Revelation, the churches there in Revelation, it was not just the angel of the church, it was the people of the church that were going to give an account.
That's right.
So there is a strong sense of expectation of who's responsible for this church. So we have to think about that when we talk about sending church, mother church. I've heard churches that were a satellite or a church plant 3, 5, 7 years. They had no personal authority. And I'm like, wait a second. Where do you find that in the scriptures?
Yeah. So I had a ministry that I'm familiar with that's 10 years into this church plant. The home church was still in control of that church's finances. The church, the plant basically took their tithes and offerings every week and gave it to their mother church, and they deposited it into their account, and the church plant didn't have a... So is that what you're referring to?
Oh, exactly.
And is there a specific time when that should be broken, or is it a need for evaluation?
Are you asking me the way we do it, or are you asking me for my opinion?
Whichever you like.
Okay. So... there's a difference between the terms, we have to know our terms, between authority and cooperation. I am all for cooperation. I'm all for it. Even if that church, because of their need, needs some cooperation when it comes to their financing and those sorts of things. But here's what I believe. I believe we're about to send a man out to start a church here in August of this year. We will send him to start a church. Once he starts the church and there are people coming, they have a body and an organization and a structure, they are a church. We will cooperate with him heavily, meaning we'll send him money, go down door knock for him, do all sorts of things. But He's a church. So in, here's what I have authority over. At that point, I have authority over the money that I'm sending him. If he does something that I don't like, I could stop sending him money. So let's say he's been at that church for a year. So who's been the pastor of that church for a year? He has.
Correct.
Who's their shepherd?
He is.
So let's say he starts doing something I don't like. Do I have the authority to go down there and remove him from that church? Then why do I act like I do?
Right.
So the problem here, and here's just a brief history. In the 60s and 70s, the way we started churches was we'd pat guys on the back and say, good luck, right? We're sending you. Have a great time. And we didn't really help them. We saw, when you hear the stories, you know, fill up your U-Haul, and when you stop, start a church when you run out of gas, you know? And that was not a great method of cooperation. So as the sending church has put more skin in the game with money, they've taken more authority.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot of investment. And if I'm going to invest that much, then I would like to have authority over that investment. But unfortunately, that's not biblical to maintain spiritual authority over another body in a different location. And so I believe in cooperation as opposed to extended authority. If I didn't believe that guy should be a pastor, I should not have sent him out.
That's good.
And one of the ways to understand this is, if it's true with the church that's 30 minutes from you in authority, then it should be true in the church that's 5,000 miles away from you. And we don't practice the same type of authority on our missionaries that we practice on church planters.
True. So just very quickly, if you ordain this man, do you also maintain the right to be able to remove that ordination if he gets doctrinally wacky or if he gets unethical?
I have the right to remove it in a disassociation with him, okay, and say we no longer identify with him. Well, certainly, we can do whatever we want as far as our term, but our removal of that ordination really will do nothing, will not create authority for us over his congregation. Hmm. Right?
Yeah, I agree.
So it's just a disassociation based upon I can't support what he's teaching or preaching, yeah. And which makes me more considerate the next time that I send somebody out.
Right. That's good.
So, and to be honest, if the place that ordained you for some reason stopped liking what you were doing and they removed your ordination, how would that affect you this coming Sunday?
I would be at a loss as how to explain it, but it probably would not stop me from being here and preaching the gospel.
Right, because you're not shepherding them.
Right.
You're not accountable to them. You're appreciative of the cooperative association with them. But you don't actually need their approval to preach.
Right.
Our authority doesn't come from an ordination. Our authority comes from the Word of God.
Yeah.
So I don't want to minimize cooperation or sending church at all, but I do want to do it biblically, which requires a little bit further conversation, because by nature, whatever we invest in, we want more authority in.
That's right.